But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some celebrities and luxe brands getting the exposure they deserve. Move on to one Maryland senator's journey to show proof of life, and follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, Who the Fuck is Gonna Stop the Felon in Chief? Let's begin, shall we? When it comes to women doing it for themselves, I think about Marie Curie, who ultimately gave her life for her groundbreaking work on radiation, or Ada Lovelace, who wrote the first ever computer algorithm back in 1843. And let's not forget about Harriet Tubman, who saved over 300 slaves because of her mad spy skills, and still found time to save countless Union soldiers' lives using her medical know-how. These women and many others have made their mark on society by defying misogyny and at the same time moving humanity forward. Just like the three black women who were so fucking good at math that they were the only ones to come up with the complex mathematical shit that got John Glenn into space. Think about that. It's because of three brilliant black women that NASA was able to send a bunch of white dudes safely into and out of space back in the 1960s. That's what you call an impressive movement forward for women. Something that inspires girls and young women to go for their dreams. But you know what's not an impressive movement forward for women?
CBS Morning's Gayle King and singer Katy Perry, just two of the women on board the Jeff Bezos-backed all-women crewed space mission, alongside his fiancée Lauren Sanchez, rocket scientist Aisha Bowe, research scientist Amanda Nguyen, and filmmaker Carrie Ann Flynn.
5, 4, command engine start. 2, 1, ignition.
Liftoff. Our trip to space is going to be shorter than this friggin' phone call.
Yeah, the lady spent less than 11 minutes, about 60 miles above the Earth, on Monday morning.
I feel super connected to love. I think this experience has shown me you never know how much love is inside of you until the day you launch.
What is your answer to that, or your response to the haters?
Have you been? If you've been and you still feel that way after you come back, please let's have a conversation. Please don't call it a ride. That is not a friggin' ride. Whenever a man goes up, you have never said to an astronaut, boy, what a ride. You know, we duplicated the same trajectory that Alan Shepard did back in the day, pretty much. The what it's doing to inspire other women and young girls, please don't ignore that. That say, wow, I never thought I could do that, but I see you doing it at this stage of my life.
Ugh, Gayle, look, I usually don't say this to another woman, but calm the fuck down. You paid however many millions of dollars to the second richest asshole so you could take an 11-minute ride up to not even the edge of the Earth's atmosphere. The same feat a skydiving dude from Australia did back in 2012, and he didn't have a rocket ship. And secondly, what besides sit in your seat, float around for a few minutes, then strap yourself back down did you actually do? Because you definitely weren't driving. That's literally, Gayle, the definition of a ride. But you know what? Gayle is entitled to see herself however she wants, regardless of how many actual female astronauts are degraded by giving her that moniker, because apparently just being adjacent to something is the same as actually being.
Okay, I went to the zoo yesterday. Now I'm a koala bear.
See how that makes total sense? I sew a button onto a blouse once, so of course, I'm now a fashion designer, and I've been cooking meals for my kids for years now, which is why I call myself a Michelin chef. And for that matter, just because Jeff calls that thing he built a rocket ship does not mean that the rest of us don't see.
But it looks like a giant
dick.
Yeah.
Take a look out of starboard.
Oh my god, it looks like a huge
pecker!
Oh, where?
Wait, that's not a woodpecker. It looks like someone's
private! We have reports of an unidentified flying object!
It has a long, smooth shaft, complete with two balls.
What is that? That looks just like an enormous...
Wang, pay attention.
I was distracted by that enormous flying...
Wiener? Any of you kids want another wiener?
Dad, what's that?
I don't know, son, but it's got great big nuts.
Hot, salty nuts. Who wants some, Lord Almighty?
That looks just like my husband's.
One-eyed monster! Step right up and see the one-eyed monster!
Hey, what's that? It looks like a big...
Woody! Woody Harrelson? Can I have your autograph?
Sure, no problem. Oh, my Lord, look at that thing.
So big!
I've seen bigger. That's just a little prick.
And while we're on the subject of exposing rich people's bullshit, apparently that China makes cheap goods line that we've been fed our entire lives was actually a lie, just to get us to overspend on Chinese goods name brands sell back to us. Yeah, you heard me right.
They're the videos seen by millions of Americans. TikTokers claiming to work at Chinese factories that make high-end products and offering to sell them directly to Americans for much, much cheaper.
For the past more than 30 years, we have been the OEM factory for most of the luxury brands around the world.
Products like Gucci, Prada, Louis Vuitton.
Chinese manufacturers on TikTok are exposing many luxury brands as actually being manufactured in China. Basically, items are made in China, then sent elsewhere for finishing touches, including that Made in Italy or France logo. That is what makes it cost thousands of dollars. First, these videos are offering ways to undercut big businesses, yes, even American ones, by offering basically luxury products at a fraction of the price direct to consumers on TikTok. Second, it's forcing us to acknowledge that everything we buy inevitably comes from another country. 80% of luxury goods are made in China, and that's not even accounting for non-luxury brands. For years, we've been told that Chinese manufacturing is cheap and only makes fakes, and now they've blown the lid that they're actually responsible for the brands that we think of as luxury or aspirational.
That's right, kiddies. Brands like Nike, Prada, Chanel, Hermes, and anyone else you can think of have their products made in China. Then they ship them to a European country where they slap their logo and a made in whatever country sticker on it, and then charge hundreds of thousands of dollars. So the question is, when a Chinese shoe is $12 to make, why are we paying Nike $100-something for that same shoe just because they put a check mark on it? I mean, seriously, folks, we were all told expensive equals quality. And now, come to find out, the only difference between a $19 bag from China and Prada's bags is the cost of their logo, which happens to be $2,761 after you subtract the cost of the actual bag. A fact not lost on TikTokers and anyone else who pays more than a dollar for 20 Tide Pods without the word Tide on them, because apparently that's what they cost. A fucking dollar. But for corporate greed reasons, those same pods become $13 to $20 more once Tide gets a hold of them. And that's why a collective fuck this shit is in order. Because now that we know we don't need to keep buying their overpriced cheap goods, then we can get them for what they're actually costing directly from the Chinese manufacturer and minus the logo, which is really just there for free advertising for this company anyway, like Prada or Nike.
You didn't see that coming?
Apparently they didn't. Just like Mark Zuckerberg and the South African broligarch had no idea this is happening.
Lock buttons in several cities on the peninsula appear to have been hacked. They're now playing prank messages using voices that sound a lot like Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk.
City officials said the voice feature found on about a dozen crosswalk signals downtown may have been tampered with Friday. The city has since disabled the audio until repairs can be made.
Hi, this is Mark Zuckerberg, but real ones call me the Zuck. You know, it's normal to feel uncomfortable or even violated as we forcefully insert AI into every facet of your conscious experience. And I just want to assure you, you don't need to worry, because there's absolutely nothing you can do to stop it. Anyway, see ya.
Hi, this is Elon Musk. Welcome to Palo Alto, the home of Tesla engineering. You know, they say money can't buy happiness, and yeah, okay. I guess that's true. God knows I've tried. But it can buy a Cybertruck, and that's pretty sick, right? Right? I'm so alone. You know, it's funny, I used to think he was just this dumb sack of shit, but when you get to know him, he's actually really sweet and tender and loving.
Sweetie, come back to bed.
And golf clap to whoever hacked the crosswalks at Palo Alto and several other cities and states. This is the kind of comedy-based disobedience that we need right now, regardless of how much it pisses off your local Department of Transportation. Hackers hacking for good is always better than the barely legal H-1B visas and Nepo accidents douching up every computer located in all of the departments of our federal government. And apparently sharing what they can find with the petulant poot of Russia.
A whistleblower is coming forward with claims that Doge not only accessed data from his agency, but also took a substantial amount of sensitive data with them. Quote, around 10 gigabytes of data, or quote, the equivalent of a full stack of encyclopedias worth if someone printed these files as hard copy documents, unquote. Now, that data came from the National Labor Relations Board. That's an independent federal agency that investigates allegedly unfair labor practices by private sector employers and unions and collects and stores sensitive and confidential information.
It correlates directly with data that was exiting the database at the same time. There's a lot of corroborating evidence that points to it. We would have access to the code that they're running. We would be able to see these things that they're hiding. I don't believe that there's transparency.
The information that the National Labor Relations Board looks at are basically corporate documents and things that involve unions. So there's a lot of sensitive corporate information that is included within this, which, yes, could, you know, be of interest to Elon Musk, but at the same time, they're of interest to our foreign adversaries. Within 15 minutes of Doge employees creating user accounts, i.e. usernames and passwords, somebody or something from Russia tried to log in with the right username and right passwords, that is to say, the right credentials. And that happened over 20 times. Doge has also been using Starlink as a means to exfiltrate data. What that means is that, from our understanding, that Russia has a direct pipeline of information through Starlink, which means that anything going through Starlink is going to Russia. We also know that this is not unique to the NLRB. This is happening government-wide. Critical infrastructure databases in many government agencies, as we understand it, have been exposed to the open internet.
Well, I can't say that I'm surprised that Elmo Schmuck's douchers were stealing data from any federal agency that they forced their way into. I mean, how else is this special government twat going to get the deets on his competitors, right? But what's sus AF to me is how Captain Ketamine used Starlink to move Siphon data and apparently usernames and passwords onto Russia's tiniest dictator. Seems to me Starlink has been involved in quite a bit of reality manipulation lately, what with Starlink being used by some states during the 2024 election to move voter tabulations, resulting in the felonious orange magically winning every swing state, a feat even mathematics says is near impossible unless you have Starlink. And don't forget, according to Joe Roydrage, the South African Musk inexplicably knew the outcome to the 2024 election just 4 hours before anyone else in the country. And while we're on the subject of stolen elections having consequences, unless you've been living under a red baseball cap for the last couple of months, you probably know the name Kilmar Abrego Garcia. He was a dude living in Maryland with his wife and kids, being a union sheet metal brother, working hard, paying taxes, you know, like a productive member of society. Until the Trump regime's ICSS soldiers kidnapped Garcia and human trafficked him and hundreds of others to a foreign prison in the middle of the night, after a federal judge told him not to. And then he did it again and again until the bogus SCOTUS got involved, telling Eric's dad that he's got to go through the whole due process thing before he steals any more brown people off the streets. Mostly because America is not currently at war with Venezuela, so using the Alien Enemies Act from like a billion years ago really doesn't apply. Oh, and facilitate the return of Garcia like yesterday. And surprising to no one who's raised a toddler, Von Krapps and Pampers invited the sleazy schmucktator from El Salvador to the White House to show off how they're shitting all over America's Constitution. Together.
The Trump administration says it cannot return a Maryland man mistakenly deported to El Salvador. Trump officials argue that since Abrego Garcia is locked inside a prison in El Salvador, it's essentially not their problem anymore and they can't do anything about it.
But yesterday at the White House, Bukele said he didn't have the authority to release Garcia either.
Can President Bukele weigh in on this? Do you plan to return him?
Well, I'm supposed to be suggesting that I smuggle a terrorist into the United States, right?
They totally
How can I return him to the United States? It's like I smuggle him into the United States, or what do I do? Of course, I'm not going to do it. It's like, the question is preposterous. How can I smuggle a terrorist into the United States? I don't have the power to return him to the United States.
The media would love for you to believe that this is a media darling, that he's just some Maryland father. Well, Osama bin Laden was also a father, and yet he wasn't a good guy, and they actually are both terrorists.
And the United States Supreme Court ruled unanimously that the President of the United States and the Secretary of State could not be compelled to forcibly retrieve this citizen of El Salvador, who is currently locked up in a maximum security prison in his home country due to his MS-13 membership.
Why not show the American people the evidence that he's MS-13?
He is an illegal alien who has been living illegally in our country from El Salvador. There was no situation ever where he was going to stay in this country. None, none. He would have come back, had one extra step of paperwork, and gone back again. But he's from El Salvador, he's in El Salvador, and that's where the president plans on keeping him.
The evidence, we're not going to see the evidence.
We have the transcripts from the court hearings. I'll be glad to give you the court hearings from 2019, what we have, sure.
Oh, yes, let's talk about the documents released by Pick Me Bondi that she was yelling about. And I don't know, when I read them, I'm starting to think she doesn't know what she's talking about. First off, the document says itself, quote, subject, meaning Kilmar Abrego Garcia, has no criminal history. That is according to the Department of Homeland Security. Secondly, the only evidence in the report claiming Garcia was a gang member is the word of a cop who was fired a couple of months later for trading informant information for sexual favors with prostitutes. Let's not forget that the reason the Trump regime is claiming Garcia is a gang member is because he was wearing a Chicago Bulls hat and has some tattoos. None of which screams, get this man to an El Salvadorian concentration camp, unless you're a white supremacist working on the sequel to Nazi Germany. And for the record, the sleazy dick running El Salvador is the one who personally stashes people away at CECOT, because you can't get into the prison without President Bukaki's permission. So just for shits and giggles, if anyone could get Garcia out, it's that guy. But why would the greasy Gotti wannabe from El Salvador do that when he's getting millions and millions in taxpayer dollars to keep Garcia and others locked up? Or as the only member of Congress willing to use their frequent flyer miles for democracy, Senator Chris Van Hollen from Maryland explained.
Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen says he's going to El Salvador to meet with the country's president.
The Trump administration is lying about Abrego Garcia. I asked the vice president if Abrego Garcia has not committed a crime and the U.S. courts have found that he was illegally taken from the United States. Government of El Salvador has no evidence that he was part of MS-13. Why is El Salvador continuing to hold him in CECOT? And his answer was that the Trump administration is paying the government of El Salvador to keep him at CECOT. And he said what President Bukele said the other day at the White House, that El Salvador can't smuggle Mr. Abrego Garcia into the United States. And I said, I'm not asking him to smuggle Mr. Abrego Garcia into the United States. I'm simply asking him to open the door of CECOT and let this innocent man walk out.
Exactly. After federal judges and the jesters on the Supreme Disaster told Chito Benito to facilitate the return of Garcia to the United States, the Trump regime said no. paraded their new partner in concentration camps before the press, and had their flapping heads go on right-wing media to gloat about how they're going to keep ignoring the U.S. Constitution because judges don't have the right to tell the presidents what to do. That is literally the DOJ's argument before the third branch of our government regarding federal judges' decisions to stop such stupid ideas like ending birthright citizenship or deporting migrants lawfully here in the United States because they found a racist AF law from the 17-whatevers. Which is why Senator Van Hollen got on a plane, flew 5 hours, arrived at CECOT in El Salvador, and was denied access and made those public statements about why Garcia is imprisoned. A smart move for Van Hollen, because after spending a day exposing this bullshit all over the news and social media, this happened.
Breaking news that Senator Van Hollen, he was initially turned away from this prison in El Salvador today, but then hours later, the El Salvadoran government arranged for Mr. Abrego Garcia to get out of the prison in order to meet Senator Van Hollen, somewhat bizarrely, in civilian clothes at a hotel in San Salvador.
Now, Abrego Garcia lives in Maryland and was mistakenly deported last month due to what the government calls an administrative error.
You see Abrego Garcia not in the prison garb of that terror prison in El Salvador, but with a shirt and a Kansas City Chiefs ball cap.
El Salvador's president insists Abrego Garcia will remain in prison in that country. And he did a little trolling online, posting, Kilmar Abrego Garcia miraculously risen from the, quote, death camps and, quote, torture, now sipping margaritas with Senator Van Hollen in the tropical paradise of El Salvador.
When I first sat down with Kilmar, we just had glasses of water on the table. I think maybe some coffee. And as we were talking, one of the government people came over, deposited two other glasses on the table. I don't know if it was salt or sugar around the top, but they look like margaritas. And if you look at the one they put in front of Kilmar, it actually had a little less liquid than the one in front of me to try to make it look, I assume, like he drank out of it. Neither of us touched the drinks that were in front of us. And if you want to play a little Sherlock Holmes, I'll tell you how you can know that. If you sip out of one of those glasses, some of whatever it was, salt or sugar, would disappear. You would see a gap. There's no gap. Nobody drank any margaritas or sugar water or whatever it is. But this is a lesson into the lengths that President Bukele will do to deceive people about what's going on.
And I'll bet President Bukele of El Salvador thought he was going to get one on old Van Hollen with that drink prop he had staged during the Garcia meeting held in an El Salvadorian hotel, where Garcia was given a costume change complete with a hat so no one could see that his head was shaved like other prisoners in CECOT. And those fake garitas delivered to the table for photo op purposes was icing on the cake, considering the rest of the restaurant was empty. Seems like a lot of staging just to have your version of reality debunked by a U.S. senator who actually gives a fuck about his constituents and the U.S. Constitution. Specifically, that part in the 14th Amendment, quote, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. The same direction the Sussy Court ordered Trump's regime to do regarding their use of the Alien Enemies Act, that no one should be removed using it unless they've been given due process before deportation. A direction the Dollar Tree dictator has so far ignored, so 7 out of the 9 jesters just ruled at 1 a.m. on Friday night, the Fanta fascist cannot use the Alien Enemies Act to deport migrants who are here legally anymore. Can't do it. And one day after Senator Van Hollen met with Garcia in El Salvador, Garcia was removed, reportedly, from CECOT and placed in another prison, where he apparently is right now. Now, we're not sure what the name of this new prison is or whether or not he has actually been moved, because this is according to Bukele. So why should any of us give a shit that some migrant who was in the U.S. lawfully was then taken and disappeared to a foreign prison? Well, if you're a history buff, you probably know that Auschwitz was located in Poland, not Germany. And if you are a Holocaust survivor or related to one, you know that if they remove constitutional rights for some, they'll remove them for all. A lesson one immigration attorney learned firsthand.
It is time for you to leave the United States. That's the email that Nicole Maccheroni got from the Department of Homeland Security. That email went on to say she had to leave within 7 days or, quote, the government will find you. But here's the thing. Maccheroni is a U.S. citizen, born and raised in Massachusetts, and an immigration attorney.
This one was a little bit different because there was no client name on it. There was no case number on it. It was just my information, and they were asking me to leave the United States. It's more likely than not that it's an administrative error on DHS's part. The email did come from a no-reply email address. They have made some general statements about the email since all of this went public. And they did confirm that it's a real email and that they will be dealing with email sent in error on a case-by-case basis. That being said, I have not heard from them about my particular case. Their main goal is to scare people into leaving the United States. They want immigrants to be uncomfortable here. There were some other U.S. citizens that received this email. There were people in all sorts of status that received this email.
So at this point, I think we can all agree that the puppy-killing DEI hire at DHS and the anchor baby running the State Department do not give a fuck about your rights as a U.S. citizen, or as a lawful U.S. resident, or as a migrant with protected status or seeking asylum. Hell, even the blubbering potato appointed border czar is a bit overcooked, drooling over himself about the thought of going after sanctuary cities, arresting state officials for welcoming migrants into their spaces. And by the way, folks, this was always the plan. Being able to deport whoever they want to a concentration camp in a foreign country.
Deporting American citizens to Central American prisons. Is it legal, or do you need to change the law to do it?
Well, it's another question that the president has raised. It's a legal question that the president is looking into. And he talked about this yesterday when his meeting with President Bukele in the Oval Office. He would only consider this, if legal, for Americans who are the most violent, egregious, repeat offenders of crime.
Or anyone wearing a Chicago Bulls cap. Or anyone who has tattoos. Or anyone a cop claims without evidence is a gang member. Because if we're being honest, Trump is designating all of these undesirables to be shipped off to El Salvador. I mean, the fraud father already spent more than $15 million of our taxpayer dollars on this shit. And besides, that money is apparently going toward infrastructure in El Salvador, specifically for building another 5 CCOTs, as Invasion Dawn explained to President Buttplug on a hot mic in the Oval.
Demanded the people wanted to change their governments, but they didn't want it. They demanded it. They love you. They love what you do.
Well, you know, I'm one of your supporters.
I want them to, you know.
Homegrown criminals next.
Yeah.
I said, homegrowns are next. The homegrowns. Built. You got to build about 5 more places.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right? it's not big enough.
No, yeah.
Come on. So this is a much different office than you're in.
Just let that sink in for a moment. The moldy sack of oranges occupying the White House because a billionaire hopped up on horse tranquilizers rigged the last presidential election is discussing the construction of 5 more mega prisons to house U.S. citizens. CCOT itself can house about 40,000 people. Mambo Mussolini is talking about at least 200,000 American citizens rotting away in El Salvador. Family men like Kilmar Abrego Garcia and immigration attorneys and doctors like American-born Lisa Anderson from Connecticut, prompting Lisa to carry a passport everywhere she goes out of fear that she will be kidnapped by frosty SS soldiers. All the more reason why major colleges are going full musketeer, making a pact with each other that an attack on one is an attack on all. Ever since the Trump regime started threatening to decline federal funding if they don't give up students on visas. Because now is the time for all good Americans to come to the aid of their fellow citizens, lawful migrants, and asylum seekers against the quarter-pounder bloated takeover of our constitutionally protected way of life. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, and Facebook. And we are always available for your listening pleasure. Places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-dir for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times. And if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.